Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Our subject today is authority. And it is vital if you're going to have a pleasing testimony to God that you demonstrate that you are under His authority, which means everything that you do, every thought that you have, every word that you speak, you do all of these things recognizing His authority over you. And when you do so, you are going to have a life that is pleasing to Him, that demonstrates righteousness, and that manifests God's glory in your life and through your life to other people. And that is what a disciple of Messiah Yeshua is called to do. Now, one of the ways that we show that we're under His authority is how we respond to theological questions. Remember what Messiah said? In a general sense, He said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. And anything beyond that is of sin. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. When someone asks me a theological question, for example, Baruch, do you believe in the virgin birth? My answer is yes. Do you believe in the doctrine of the Trinity? Yes. Do you believe that there are multiple ways into the kingdom of God? No. Do you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish and was in that belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights? Yes. When it comes to theological questions, we should give straightforward and concise answers, simply to say what we believe, and not try to camouflage truly what we believe for any other purpose. Now, I remember that there is a well-known Bible teacher. He's gone to be with the Lord. I do believe he's with the Lord. But what always bothered me about him is that he was very public. He would go to these forums and he was asked theological questions. And instead of answering directly, showing that he was under God's authority, what would he do? He would always answer the question in this way. Well, if you accept this as a foundational point, and if you believe this other point to be true, then we are compelled to acknowledge this, and you never heard truly where he was coming from theologically. And I believe the reason for that is he wanted to please all people. But remember what Paul said. Paul said, if I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of our Lord and Savior, Messiah Yeshua. So let's always demonstrate that we are under God's authority. Speak the truth and let the consequences belong to God. Well, take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Luke and chapter 20. The book of Luke and chapter 20. Now, when you study the Gospels, doesn't matter what Gospel you're referring to, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, when you're studying in the Gospels, you will find something. Messiah encountered conflict. Because he spoke the truth, let me say it differently, because he always, always demonstrated that he was under the authority of the one that sent him, and that term right there shows his submissiveness, that he always did the will of the one who sent him. He was under the authority of his heavenly Father. And because of that, not only did God give to him wisdom, now Messiah is God, he has wisdom in the fact that he is God, but this is to illustrate something to us. We see that Messiah was never trapped by those who went there to entrap him. They were never able to trick him, deceive him. He always knew the right thing to say and the right thing to do. Why? Because he was under God's authority. And this is an example for us. We too, when we're walking in obedience, when we want to be submissive to the will of God, when we recognize in all circumstances his authority, God will provide. God will give us wisdom and knowledge. God will move mightily in our life and through our life for his purposes to be fulfilled. And notice what we see here. Luke's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 1. We read in verse 1, "And it came about on one of those days." Now, what we see here is that Messiah has left Galilee. This is later in his ministry, coming towards the end. He's in Jerusalem, and Passover is approaching. That means the time for him to lay down his life, that hour that he spoke of earlier, that it had not yet come, now was at hand. And therefore, it was during this time period, that's what this phrase means, and it came about in one of those days that his ministry was drawing near. He was about to die. What was he doing? It says, "And he is teaching the people in the temple." Now, the location is very important. He was there in the temple. The temple relates to the presence of God and our obligation to worship God. He was telling the people how to experience God and how to worship God. And if you want to worship God, you need to demonstrate that you're under his authority. When you demonstrate that you are obedient, submissive, and recognize his authority, you are going to experience God. And you are going to be in a spiritual condition whereby you are able to worship God. So he is teaching the people in the temple. And what else was he doing? And preaching the gospel. What happened? It says here that the high priest, the scribes, with the elders, what were they doing? They were confronting him. Now, here's this one who perfectly testified to the truth of God, who did perfectly the will of God, and always, always, always was under the authority of his heavenly Father as an example to us that we should do the same. And what happened? Spiritual leaders, the high priests, the scribes, and the elders, they were there for one purpose. And what was that? In order to confront him. And notice what they spoke of. Look now to verse 2 where it says, "And they said to him, saying, say to us, by what authority these things you do." Now, what things are we talking about? His miracles. All the things that he did in order to reveal his identity. See, when we look at Yeshua, and of course I'm speaking of Jesus of Nazareth, what we learn about him is everything that he said, everything that he did, reveals his identity, what theologians call his personhood. And we also speak about the person and the work of Messiah. When you take an introductory theological class, systematic theology, probably one of the first classes that you're going to take is the person and work of Christ. And that means we understand there's a relationship between who he is, his identity, and the things that he was doing. It was because, in other words, that he is the Son of God, that he was doing all the things that he was doing and saying all the things that he was saying. And what we find here is the religious leadership, they didn't like what he was doing. And they took issue, so they came and noticed the question. And they spoke to him, saying, "Say to us, by what authority these things you do, or who it is, the one who gave to you this authority." So they didn't like what he was saying. They didn't like what he was doing, and they wanted to know under whose authority. Now, some of the scholars point out that they were trying to intimidate him with the objective of getting him in trouble with the Roman Empire. That if what he was doing was okay with Rome, and we understand something. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He doesn't need anyone's approval. He is God among us, as Isaiah said, Emmanuel. But nevertheless, this one who is God, fully God, as Paul said, did not equate equality with God something to be grasped. He is God, fully God. But nevertheless, he demonstrated his Father's authority over everything that he did. And now these leaders are coming to him wanting to know by what means or who it is that gave to you the authority to do these things. And again, they were trying to entrap him. Verse 3. But he answered, he said to them, notice directly, "Also I will ask you one word," meaning one thing. In the context, "I'm going to also ask you a question." Now, notice Yeshua, because he is God, but also in this passage, because of his submissiveness, we see that he has access to the wisdom of God, the truth of God, the knowledge of God. And here again, because he is God among us, he always has this knowledge, this wisdom. It is part of his identity. But in this passage, we are being taught that when we recognize God's authority in our life, so too will we have access to God's revelation, God's truth, God's knowledge, God's wisdom, in order that the enemy doesn't deceive us and the enemy does not turn us away from the purposes of God. Now, let me just simply say before we go any further, when you are under God's authority, you know what you're going to be committed to? The purposes of God. And you know what you will not be committed to? Your desires, your will, your plans. All of those you are going to set aside because you recognize something, that your plans, your purposes, your wants, your desires originate in the flesh with you. But God's plans, his purposes, his will originates with him. This one who knows all things, who is very much aware what's going to happen tomorrow. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you know what you're going to encounter? You do not. God does. So if you want to be prepared for the future, if you want to live a God-pleasing life, if you want to have a testimony that truly glorifies him and is anointed in order to influence others, then you are going to walk submissively, humbly, and demonstrate that you are under his authority. Let me ask you a question. When people look at you, and by the way, they are, do they see a man? Do they see a woman? Do they see an adolescent or even a child who is under God's authority, that does not make decisions for themselves, that does not do what is right in one's own eyes, but relies upon God's revelation, his truth? So again, when people see you, and they do they see a person who is committed to living under the authority of God. That's wisdom. And it's when you demonstrate you're under his authority that you're going to have access to God's provision, that he is going to give you power. He's going to give you his perspective. So read on. Messiah just says, I will say to you also one thing. I have a question for you. And what is that question? He says, and also you say to me, look at verse 4, the baptism of John. From heaven it was, or from man? Now, Messiah gets to the heart of the issue. It is well documented biblically, and the people understood this, that John was, as his own words said, he was the forerunner to Messiah. He was the one that prepared the way. And what did he do? What was his primary ministry? He called the people to a baptism of repentance. And we see something. Repentance is foundational for salvation. And what is repentance? A lot of people don't know. Repentance is agreeing with God, accepting his standards for what is right, and accepting his standards for what is wrong. And when you do that, you know what you realize? You realize about yourself that you're not perfect, that you are a sinner, that you are unrighteous, that you are in need of God's forgiveness, his mercy, his grace. So when we look at ourselves, having agreed with the standards of God, let me say that differently, accepting the commandments of God as truth, we're to see our need for a Savior, our need for a Redeemer. And that is going to draw us to the gospel. That only message, and there's not a multiplicity of ways into the kingdom of God, one way. There's only one Savior, not many Saviors, only one. One way and only one way enters into the kingdom of God. Faith in Messiah's work on the cross. The fact that he died on that cross, was buried, and rose on that third day. That is the only thing that one has to believe in order to be eternally redeemed, saved forever. And so we confess our sins and we turn to him who died for us in our place. That's the gospel. That's the only way that we're saved. So he says, look again at verse 4, the baptism of John. From heaven it was, or from man? Now, they should have just answered the question. It wasn't a difficult question. In fact, the scripture says that many of the leaders, look sometime at Matthew chapter 3, that many of the leaders in Judea, what were they doing? They were going out to John's baptism. The fact that they went out with all of Judea and Samaria and the regions around, the fact that they were going, they believed in John's baptism, that he was sent by God, that he came, as the scripture says, in the spirit of Elijah. So they knew this, but they didn't want to answer. Notice, look at verse 5. But they were reasoning among themselves, saying that if we should say from heaven, he will say, therefore, why did you not believe him? Now, that's true. But why don't they just answer the question? Why don't they just simply speak where their hearts are? Do they believe that John's baptism was from heaven, that God had called him, that this was of God and his plans and his purposes? The answer is obviously, yes, they did. They went out to it. But they didn't want to confess that. Why? Well, notice again, verse 5. But, that means in contrast to the truth, they were reasoning among themselves, saying that if we should say from heaven, he will say, therefore, why did you not believe him? Verse 6. But if we say from man, then what's going to happen? If they say, you know, John's baptism wasn't of God, it was solely of man. Now, let me just pause for a moment. We are living in prophetic times. Did you realize that? Let me say it differently. We are living in biblical times. Why is that? God is returning as he promised prophetically the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. My family is an example of that, and there are millions who are examples of that. Now, you will have theologians, liberal theologians, they will say, well, the fact that there's a nation of Israel, this is the work of man. God's not involved in it. But wait a second. God says over and over and over prophetically that in the last days, he's going to bring the people back to the land. It's happening. We are living in prophetic times. This is not by chance. This is not of man. So they say something. They understand it very well. Look at verse 6. But if we were to say, from man, all the people, what will they do? They will stone us. Now think of that. All the people, everyone, the simple people, the common folks, also those who were leaders, those who were spiritual leaders, everyone understood. There was total consensus. John's baptism was from God. This was a movement. Everyone went out. Everyone understood the anointing. The spirit of Elijah was upon John for a purpose. But what did they say? Look again at verse 6. But if we were to say, from man, all the people will stone us, for they were persuaded that John is a prophet, that he is to be recognized as a prophet of God. All the people saw that. They saw that in John's commitment. John was not given over to fine clothes. John was not in bondage to the finest delicacies that was available. He was a prophet of the Lord. He was a servant. He was used by God. He came, as I said, the Bible tells us, in the spirit of Elijah, but John lived a rather simple life, wearing camel hair garment, which is refuse. People didn't like that. He had a simple belt, and he ate locusts and would dip them in date honey. Not bee honey, that was expensive, but date honey, what he found on the ground, he would mix this up and make a jam to eat locusts. He lived in the most efficient way, in the most thrifty manner. He wasn't about finer things of life. He was a simple man, given over to the things of God. He was committed to the kingdom of God, not the things of this world. So it says, for they were persuaded, who? And this term for persuaded, pay attention to the grammar. It's in the perfect tense, which means they were of that mindset in the past. They are of that mindset now, and they will continue to be in the mindset that John was truly a prophet. Look now to verse 7. Now, notice their answer. They lied. They knew the truth, but they didn't want to say the truth, what they truly believed. And they answered, and what was their answer? We do not know. They did not want to answer. They concealed the truth. Why? Very simple. They weren't under God's authority. Hear this. When you are under the authority of God, you are compelled to speak the truth. And if you should not, chas v'shalom, which means God forbid, if you don't, you're not going to have a peace. You are going to be very inwardly burdened by telling a lie. But they didn't have a problem with that. They did what they felt was expedient in their own eyes. They weren't concerned about the truth. They weren't concerned about answering the question with integrity from what they truly believe. They were trying to manipulate the situation according to their will rather than being submissive to the will of God. When you are under his authority, you are going to be committed to his will. Notice the response. Look now to verse 8, our last verse. And Yeshua said to them, neither will I say to you, by what authority these things I do. Now, some of the commentators point out this. He didn't answer their question. Why? Because he knew their purposes. He knew that they knew what authority. But they simply wanted him to say, I'm under the authority of God. Why? Well, again, by doing so would mean that he was confessing he's the Messiah. Now, he did confess that. He is eternally the Messiah. But notice, the people weren't ready for that. The people weren't ready to hear who he truly was, who he truly is, what he came to do, and what he will do. He was still in the time period. What was he doing? Teaching in the temple. Why? Teaching the people who he was, his identity. And not just who he is, but also his purpose. He was still in the process of revealing why he came up to Jerusalem. He came up for what reason? Passover. Passover, when you hear Passover, what should you think of? Death. Passover, something has to die. And what is that? Well, you go back to Egypt. Passover is always about death because either the lamb would die or the firstborn. But in every home, there was going to be death. And he came up for Passover, signifying that he was going to die, that he was going to lay down his life. See, the reason why he didn't initially respond is because he was still teaching them that he was that suffering servant. Even today in Judaism, that concept of a suffering servant, although the Bible speaks of it, the prophets taught that, the people should have been aware of it, they were not. Why? Well, even today in Judaism, we are not being taught the scriptures. And many times within the church, we are not being taught the scriptures. We need to be in a place of worship where there's a commitment to the Word of God. Because when you are committed to the Word of God, you are going to walk under the authority of God. You are going to have access to the power of God, the provision of God, the perspective of God, so that you can live in a way that glorifies Him. To the degree that you recognize and demonstrate you're under his authority is going to be to the degree that God will use you. Let's be faithful. Let's be submissive. I'll close with that. Until next time, shalom.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.